This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. Tom, Rich and Brandy, all three of us back in the studio, where we have been talking, you guessed it, the knock-on effects of the rains. The guys at Alphatame Automotive say that they've seen a spike in people coming in looking for very large second-hand SUVs. We've been speaking to one of their MDs, Carlos Montenegro. We've also been having a look at what increased claims could mean for the balance sheets and the solvency of insurance companies. Mohamed Ali Lunde is the Vice President and Senior Analyst at Moody's Ratings. They've just written a report on that. Plus, it's earnings season, and as usual, the banks are the first ones out of the blocks here in the UAE. We spoke to one of them this morning, posting double-digit profit growth. That's CBD, Commercial Bank of Dubai. We spoke to their CFO, Darren Clark.
Big focus on the fallout from the floods, particularly automotive. Tom, you're kicking things off with the guys from Alphatame.
Indeed we are. Yeah, we are. Obviously, it's a big talking point at the moment. Cars, left, right and centre. It's cropping up in conversation a lot. Carlos is waiting in the green room as we speak. Carlos is the Managing Director, Fleet and Pre-Owned Division at Alphatame Automotive. Obviously, one of the biggies here in the region in terms of importing cars, in terms of selling cars. New off the showroom and, of course, pre-owned as well. So let's get the latest on that. Got any questions for the team from Alphatame? As I said, the purveyors of some of the biggest brands on the roads of the UAE and the roads around the world. They have seen certainly a jump in inquiries in the last week or so, a 40% jump in car purchase inquiries month on month after the rains. Are the impact of the rains, are the lingering memories of the rains going to impact our buying trends, how we buy, what we buy, when we buy? Just a few of the questions that we will be putting to Carlos and getting some practical advice as well. Those that have brands that have been affected by the rains, still under warranty or otherwise, how do they go about getting help? So if you've got any questions, as I said, get them into us now, 4001. We continue our conversation about the fallout from the floodwaters. The waters may have receded. Roads are now pretty much 99% open across the UAE, but obviously the knock-on effects being felt by thousands.
Now, it's all well and good inquiring about buying a car from Alphatame, and many will. We had insurance experts on from Benepal this week saying they think as many as 50,000 cars may be written off in the UAE. That's an estimate, but it is an informed estimate. The other thing is, well, will people have the money to buy a new car? And in many ways, that will depend on whether or not the insurance companies pay out. And Brandy, you're turning your attention to that one in about 45 minutes' time, aren't you, with the guys from Moody's? Because it impacts, well, it impacts whether or not the insurance company pays out, impacts the balance sheet of people like me. I found out yesterday that my car is written off. It is beyond economic repair from the floods. But it impacts the insurance companies more, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does indeed. And that's what Moody's has focused on. It's, I mean, the headline that those storms in April, and they're looking across the Gulf, by the way, not just in the UAE, will increase claims is almost not a headline. April storms will increase claims is literally the first four words of their report. But the reinsurance costs is the big one that they are focusing on, and what that will all mean for the balance sheets, the credit profiles, and the capital adequacy of the insurance companies themselves.
And it's interesting because on Monday morning, you've been off for a few days, but we had the guys from S&P, rival ratings agency, coming in saying, we don't think it's going to have that much of an impact on insurance companies, partly because a lot of people have third-party insurance, so that's not covered. But also, even those with comprehensive insurance, the guys told us, if you were driving, you probably won't be covered, and therefore the exposure for the insurance companies will be fairly limited, so not a big deal. Then Monday night, we had the central bank announcement saying, actually, for insurance companies, anybody who's got comprehensive cover, whether you were driving or not,
you're covered.
You are covered. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not in terms of Moody's analysis of the balance sheet pressure for insurance companies, whether or not that was a game changer. I'm sure they've been looking at it. Mohammed Ali Londa joining us, 7:50, yeah?
Yeah, and I'm looking at the report in front of me at the moment, and two things that they point out is the reinsurance thing is huge. They say that reinsurers have already globally reduced their capacity to cover things such as floods. But they say that some small and medium-sized Gulf insurers, and again, they're looking at the whole region, not just the UAE, are at risk of capital erosion as a result of the storms that we've seen this month.
All that to come. And sandwiched in between them, we've got one of Dubai's banks joining us because Commercial Bank of Dubai, it's earnings season at the moment. And yesterday we got numbers from Commercial Bank of Dubai. Tom, you're going to be speaking to the finance chief, Darren Clark. Good set of numbers from Commercial Bank of Dubai. 22% increase in quarterly profit is the story.
Yeah, big numbers coming out of Commercial Bank of Dubai yesterday. Net profit after tax. A result of 701 million dirhams, first quarter of 2024. They've had a good start to the year. Obviously, one of the top 10 banks here in the UAE at the moment, one of the oldest as well, established back in 1969. Darren's going to be joining us live in studio, I'm told, which is great news. So we can go through those numbers, look ahead, look back to the quarter that was, look ahead to the quarters that will be a little later on this year, and maybe a little chat about branches and how they fared with the waters last week. All of those questions coming your way, or coming Darren's way shortly.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
When it comes to all things automotive, one man who is very much in the know and has an answer or two is the Managing Director, Fleet and Pre-Owned Division of one of the longest established, largest and most respected automotive organisations here, and not just in the country, but the region. And Alphatame Automotive. Carlos Montenegro has joined us live in studio. Carlos, thanks so much indeed for your time.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be with you here today.
Thanks for your time this morning. Thanks also for your frank comments to the media over the course of the last couple of days. Fascinating article in Gulf Business that we picked up on yesterday, where you suggested that there's been a 40% jump in car purchase inquiries. I mean, you said month on month. We suggest it might be a bit shorter. Within the last week or so, is that correct?
That's correct. I think, obviously, I actually said that it was a little bit early to assess because very much, you know, many of the sites and even the people, you know, was not even capable to leave their houses. So we have been open, let's say, since, you know, more or less since Friday. So what we saw this weekend is that there were exactly that. A lot of people really asking for those SUVs, maybe between 3 to 5 years old, big SUVs such as Land Cruisers, Jeeps, patrols, etc., because I think they got that kind of sentiment of getting stuck, you know, in a flooded area, etc. And they saw those cars, you know, normally performing better than the sedans, etc.
Let's turn our attention to who's going to feel the biggest impact on the market at the moment. Is it going to be new cars out the showroom? Is it going to be pre-owned? Where are we going to see the sort of fallout further down the line?
I think until now we were having a robust year in terms of sales. You know, people, it's coming still to the country. The used cars is going on a good trend. What has happened is just, let's say, an accident, right? We were expecting people to come to the showrooms. People didn't come because they couldn't come. And now what we have is, according to the media, because there's no yet official numbers, a lot of cars that have been damaged, right? So we have the normal demand that will probably continue, whether it's new cars or used cars. And then we have all these, let's say, tens of maybe thousands of cars that we have heard that something will have to happen with those cars. And a mobility need will have to be considered for those people as well, right? This is what now we are seeing. The first wave, what has happened is that all the workshops in our group are flooded of cars. So we are receiving thousands
flooded
of cars. Correct.
Yeah.
So correct. So cars damaged, right, that are coming to our sites because they need to be inspected by the insurance companies. And that is creating, you know, a big backlog, definitely. And then they need to be repaired, many of them. Or others, unfortunately, might have to be written off, might have to be considered as total loss. Mm. This is the same situation that we are seeing with specifically with fleet companies, big fleet companies, whether it's delivery, truck, vans, you know, buses, transporting people. They are in the same situation. And what is more, they need to continue providing the service so that the city continue moving. And these are the ones where we are, let's say, prioritizing to put those cars back in the road or even to serve them more cars, more new cars as soon as possible so that they can continue providing those mobility services.
To that end, can I ask you about stock as well? Because you and I were just talking off air, and if it's not one thing, it's the other. Last year, it was supply chain. You've dealt with that. You've got supply in market as well. You've got plenty of stock here in country. Any of that affected? Any concerns with regards to stock?
Yes. I think in our case, in the Alphatime case, luckily not. We have a very strict procedure when we see there is going to be, you know, potential rains, etc. The cars, the new cars, are going to are moved to safe areas. The customer cars, as well as the high value cars, are then stored in indoor places. And because we had, you know, already this year a couple of instances where there was rain, we were very well prepared. Yeah. Thanks to God, we didn't have any of our stock affected, neither new or used.
Showrooms affected?
Showrooms, there were a few minimal damages in you know, typical, you know, water coming in from the doors, etc. But what was more important was maybe, you know, in certain showrooms, such in Sharjah or in the AP even, people couldn't even access to it. Mm. And this is what has, you know, delayed a little bit the opening of those sites. So, you know, the roads closed, etc. People, you know, our workers couldn't even access to the places mainly.
Look, it's affected so many people, as you said. It's too early to say how many people, etc. But everyone's been affected one way or another within the country, whether they're lost or not. But is this going to impact the way we buy cars? Is this going to have an impact on new car sales or not?
I think what we saw, again, this as you said, this weekend, right, and probably, you know, in the coming weekends, we will see a little bit of trend up in the big SUVs. Probably some people might want to have one of those cars at home. But I don't think that, you know, in the medium term, longer term, the trend is going to, you know, completely vary. People is still, and it was conscious about, you know, the environment we see it. So the interest for electric vehicles, especially hybrid vehicles, it is there. And we will probably continue seeing. So at Alphatime now, we are at nearly 18% of our total sales are what we call the new energy vehicles, whether it's electric or hybrid. Now, we see that between January till March, the data we have from the UAE market, around 5.56% almost of the sales are electric vehicles. So there's a trend in the market, and I think that's not going to change. In fact, electric vehicles perform quite well in the rain. The main reason is that there is no such a thing as a combustion, right? So they don't need air. They don't need an air intake, you know, when they pass through a flooded area. So, you know, normally all the components are sealed in a car, and in an electric vehicle even more. So those cars, we have seen videos everywhere that those cars were okay. But it is also true that, you know, at the end of the day, we are selling cars. We are not selling boats or submarines, right? So, you know, at some point, you know, when those cars that are floating, yes, you know, all the electronics components, you know, get wet and they stop.
I've got 1 minute left with you, Carlos. Just want to get a little bit of practical advice for those that might be suffering at the moment. They might be going through checks from the insurance company or otherwise. Anyone holding a warranty with Alphatime, be that for a brand new car, be that for a pre-owned car, etc., is there going to be a bit of a delay in terms of any repairs or checks? Give us 30 seconds on what people should do if they're warranty holders.
For sure. I think first thing, approach your insurance company. I think there is, you know, police has also informed about this damage certificate that they need to issue. The cars will be then delivered to the workshop. Inspectors from insurance companies might have to assess the car, and then they will consider whether you know, it is relevant to repair it or it has to be considered as a written off. That will be for cars that will be under, let's say, manufacturer warranty. Cars with manufacturer warranty will have to be assessed what is the severity of the damage, right? As we see, if a car was not turned on when it was under the water, probably will be less severe. if a car was on when it entered into the water came in, you know, while the car, the engine was running, probably the damage would be further.
Got to leave it there, Carlos. Unfortunately, out of time, but can't thank you enough for your time at the moment. Carlos Montenegro, Managing Director, Fleet and Pre-Owned Division at Alphatame Automotive. Thank you.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast,
where we are continuing to talk about insurance and the storms. We have been looking after the last week or so about what it means for policyholders and for payouts and for the price of insurance in the future. Moody's, who looks at the health of the insurance companies themselves and their balance sheet, has a new report looking at what the storms across the Gulf, not just the UAE, could mean for insurance agencies in terms of their solvency buffers and their credit ratings. We're very pleased to be joined this morning by Mohamed Ali Lundi. It's lovely to see you. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Brandy.
Right, so let's start with the headline here. You say that the storms are going to push up the number of claims across the Gulf, not surprising, but also reinsurance costs. How well positioned are our insurance companies to cope with that?
Sure. So when it comes to the insurance companies in general, they have, other than capital buffers, they also have reinsurance protection, which is quite strong in our view. And we expect that this event will kick in the reinsurance covers, excess of loss, which will buffer the insurance, primary insurers, at least on a net profit basis.
Right. So what's that actually going to mean for the way that you review the insurance agencies here, their credit ratings?
So from our perspective, what we would be looking at is to see the volatility that's there in profitability on one side. And on the other side, we'll be looking to see what impact it's had on capital. In terms of profit volatility, we expect those insurers who have more exposure and are more concentrated to be more affected rather than those insurers who have more diversification. Whereas in terms of capital buffers, the insurers who have higher buffers, some medium to small insurers in the UAE have been suffering already in terms of their capital buffers. They would face more volatility. These claims and reinsurance costs rising would mean that they would probably be hit, and that could negatively affect their credit ratings.
How much could it affect their credit ratings?
So generally what we say is insurers that meet the regulatory capital criteria can be rated BAA and above, so investment grade and above. Those insurers that do not meet their capital criteria are rated non-investment grade. So this could be BA and below over time if we see that this has impacted significantly their capital.
And what does that actually mean for their ability to operate, to access reinsurance and the rest?
Well, we do expect regulators to give some forbearance as long as insurers are able to come up with a plan to recuperate capital and still be able to continue to pay their claims. A big part of that is the reinsurance partnerships that they have. So whilst this might, in the short term, affect their capital, in the long term, in the medium to long term, if they have recuperation mechanisms in place to recuperate the capital, the regulators might give some forbearance.
Our insurance interviews have really been divided into two halves. There were those that we did before the central bank came out, effectively with a bit of a guarantee for anyone who had comprehensive coverage that they would be paid out, telling insurance companies that that's what they had to do. And afterwards, what has that move from the central bank meant for insurance companies?
Well, firstly, it does bring clarity to the market and to the policyholders, to the insurers and policyholders. What's important is that policyholders would be looking at their policy coverage to make sure that their comprehensive policies do cover such events. At the same time, the insurers now have more clear guidance. It's very common in such natural calamities across the world that the regulators step in to ask the insurers to expedite or give clarity around the payment of claims.
Does it mean that more claims would be paid than if the central bank hadn't done that?
Well, it would at the least increase the awareness of the policyholders, and they would be more aware of what is covered and go to the insurers with that information when they're posing claims. Because without the information, they might have just assumed that they don't have coverage and not posted a claim.
But does it mean that insurance companies are more likely to pay out on claims than they might have been before that central bank guidance?
Well, this is an unprecedented event. Elsewhere, yes, we have seen that effect. It remains to be seen what happens in the GCC.
Okay. I guess what I'm asking is there claims that might have been disputed that won't be disputed now?
That remains to be seen. Our issuers, the companies we're in touch with, they're still estimating the cost. They're still looking at their own wordings and what would be covered case-by-case basis. And based on their inputs, we'll be able to decide whether the effect, the drasticness of the effect of that.
Okay. Are there concerns about what this could mean for the solvency of some insurance companies? Do you have concerns?
Yes, we do. So this is what we've been monitoring since the time the floods have hit. We've been in touch with the issuers. There are already issuers at year end 2023 who had not met their regulatory solvency requirements in the region. For example, in UAE, there are five of them. And two of them additionally who had very slim buffers. So the solvency was at 100 to 120%. Such a catastrophe would impact if they have exposure to their capital. And in that case, that would have a higher risk of capital deterioration. And we would be looking, we might take credit rating actions around that.
What's the answer to that? Do insurance companies just need to be bigger? Do we need to see consolidation in the insurance industry?
Consolidation is one route that we've been seeing in the GCC. Other than that, given the recent increase in premium rates, the increase in demand, there is increase in demand. There is more investor interest in the GCC's insurance market as well, which means a lot of companies have been doing rights issues and raising capital that way as well. So consolidation is one way. The other way is companies directly increasing their capital.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Mohammed
Thank
Ali Lundi is the Vice President and Senior Analyst from Moody's Ratings, in with a new report, having a look at what the storms across the UAE could mean for the capital adequacy and the reinsurance costs for insurance companies.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Right, let's talk about one of those headlines. In fact, the headline of headlines for us today. That's the news coming out of Commercial Bank of Dubai. And you know what? The news continues to be good out of Commercial Bank of Dubai. I was thinking back to what, about a year ago, almost the day, a year ago, they'd appointed elected a new chairman of the board of directors. They just approved the highest ever financial performance dividend distribution of 44.38 fils per share. That was March, earlier this year. And of course, things continue to get better. Well, when you look at the latest numbers coming out of Commercial Bank, Q1 net profit up 22%. Now, that's beating any estimates out there at the moment. Net impairment loss was down by 23%. In fact, the numbers across the board were good, and surely that puts a smile on the face of their CFO. The CFO of Commercial Bank of Dubai is, of course, Darren Clark, who joins us now live in studio. Thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Good morning, Tom, and thank you for having me.
So, a great report. Q1 2024 net profit of 701 million dirhams, up 22% versus a year ago. Strong loan book, lower impairment losses. What's not to like?
Well, thank you. It's a good set of results, and we're pleased with the results, of course, as you said. They're broad-based. Revenue is up, net interest income's up. We've had loan growth up 4.4% on the quarter. So it is good, but ultimately we are successful if our customers are doing well. And it's testament to the UAE economy and the Dubai economy that it is flourishing, it is doing well, there is growth, and we're here to support our customers, and we see them doing well. And ultimately that comes through in our results.
That's very notable of what you're saying there about the fact that this is customer driven at the moment. But customers need to sort of work on sentiment as well. What's sort of driving this overall growth, A, for your bank, but the banking sector at the moment?
Well, there's strong business confidence, and we hear that on your show. We see that there's business activity, there's economic growth, the UAE is doing well, the region is doing well. So when we look at the global economy, this is a bright spot in the global economy, in the GCC, and certainly in the UAE. And when we dig into the results, it is broad-based, not only from a sectorial perspective, but also from an industry perspective. So we had growth across personal, retail, corporate, institutional, all of our major business lines and across segments.
It's interesting you mentioned the segments there, because often you get these numbers and often people like us in the media pick up on one number and they'll plaster it across their headline, et cetera, and say, this is great. And then you go a little lower and there are numbers that don't stack up to that number as well. But again, I'm looking across the board and you're sitting across the desk from us here at the moment. The numbers across the board seem to be good. So there doesn't seem to be a weak sector out there at the moment.
We wouldn't call out a weak sector for sure. I think the UAE economy is doing particularly well. We can see that in our numbers. It is nuanced. It's always nuanced. And we, of course, report every 90 days. Yeah. So every quarter. So the numbers are quite contemporary. So what you are seeing there is what we are seeing in a very short space of time. So we saw transportation and storage up 18%. We saw trade and international trade and export up nearly 15%, and then manufacturing 7% and services 6%. So that's a bit of a feel. That's just based on our book, obviously not the entire industry, but that's what we're seeing in our Q1 results.
But it's interesting as well, and I go back to this sort of people element of it as well, and you being very customer driven, etc. Personal loans are up, loans in general are up, customer service counts are up as well. That again is evidence suggesting that people are voting with their feet and with their bank accounts.
Absolutely. So we've seen population growth, we've seen business activity growth. That's always supportive. For us, when we look at the products, mortgages certainly up and doing well, credit cards up and doing well. And we see customers coming to us where we offer a service, where we can make it easy for them to interact with our bank via our mobile app. That's the key focus for us and for our customers. And if they interact through that mobile app, we can support them very quickly, and that's what we want to do. And we want to make it a seamless process where we can help them with their banking needs here locally in the UAE.
We had the boss of the DFM sat in the very same chair as you yesterday. He was highlighting, or the day before yesterday, he was highlighting a number of elements that are helping to drive the positivity in the market here as well. One of them being IPOs. That's one thing that investors, banks, etc., are also keeping an eye on. A lot of those bankers that were customers we were talking about, they'll go, okay, but how's that affecting me? Is it filtering down this interest that's being generated by IPOs at the moment?
I think it's very positive, the IPO market and what's happening. I think the transparency, the liquidity in the financial markets and the sophistication of the financial markets is a very, very positive thing broadly. But really, it comes down to growth. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this part of the world growing, as I said, quite a bright spot. We're seeing the UAE growing and we're seeing Dubai doing very well. And we just want to support that business activity. It's more broad-based, I would say. You've been here, Tom, a long time, and you would have seen, this broadening of the economy. And I think that's particularly positive, and we're delighted to be part of it where we can.
This is Q1. Obviously, projections moving forward for the rest of the year. A couple of clouds on the horizon with some fairly large elections the world over that might have a knock-on effect. But the house outlook coming out of the bank at the moment, things remain positive this year?
We're positive. We think 2024 will be a really strong year, more broadly, but also for us. We don't see that changing. You know, there may be some seasonal elements because we're talking about quarter on quarter on quarter, which is a short range, as we said before. So it might be a little bit seasonal, but we're quite positive. We think rates will be higher for longer, as most are saying. And as you said, we're coming into that all-important election period heading in towards the end of the year.
1 minute left with you. And Darren, a quick one about last week. Obviously, we were all taken aback by the ferocity of the floods, the rainwaters as well. Business back up and running as usual.
Yeah, it's a resilient place. I thought we were talking just before the show started, and it's amazing. We look out here today and it's busy. There's activity and everyone's getting on with what they're doing. It was a difficult period last week, and I think people are moving through that. It's affected some people differently to other people, as we've seen. But by and large, we're moving forward, and 2024 looks like a good year, and we're here to support those that need it.
Well, it's a great start to the year, numbers-wise, at the moment. Congratulations to you and all the team at CBD. Commercial Bank of Dubai Q1 numbers looking very good indeed. Putting a smile on the face of the CFO, Darren Clark. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com. You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to DubaiEye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.